Thank you, Lord. Doesn't this feel good? Man, I tell you. You know, I can't tell it by looking at it, but when I was a kid, we used to go swimming. I loved to swim. And we'd go down to the lake and get in and get in just, you know, get in about ankle deep. But, man, when you get out there and go out there just about this deep, get out that channel where the water is just as clean. And you could dive down and go around here and there and swim. Wasn't it good? I mean, and that's what I feel like tonight was I was in the channel. Glory! We hit something. An artesian well, it just bubbled up inside. And just got to come out. Now then, I can't hardly get around. I'm just about where I just like to get on the edge and diddle my feet there in the water, you know, back and forth. But I like to try. You know, I like to try. I don't know if I can swim the channel or not without drowning. I used to love to scuba. I used to scuba dive. And, man, that was a lot of fun. And get out there and amongst the fish and swim around here, you feel like you're freedom. But there's the same thing here. There's a freedom. There's a freedom in God that goes beyond all understanding. Man, when that bubble up gets down inside your soul and that Holy Ghost wants to come out and you don't know what to do and you're saying, I got to do something. And you, what can I do? And you stand there and you're shouting and yelling and screaming and the Spirit of the Lord is on you. Doesn't that feel good? Man, I tell you, feels good. It goes beyond anything. There ain't nothing in this world that is like that except the Spirit of God down in your soul. It feels so good. Makes you want to kiss your enemies right on the lips. You know, it makes you want to love everybody. Man, I ain't nothing but an old, dirty, rotten scoundrel, but I know God loves me, and He loves all of us. And I'm glad that I'm being a part of something that is going to save me if I just let God just deal with my life, and he'll turn me around. He'll turn me around, and he'll get me to where I need to go. You come to a point in your life where you say, God, you got to do something for me. And he will. He'll do something for you. But I just wanted to get up here and expound on God, because, you know, if there's anything you want to talk about, if you'll talk about God, it gives it lifts your spirits up. If you get in the mully grub, start talking about Jesus Christ. Because that one name right there will lift you up. He'll lift you up. He'll make you feel like that, you know, God created this whole world. But, you know, he'll get down right down to where you are at, and he'll make you feel like that you're 10 foot tall, and he'll make you feel so good, and he loves you, and he'll bring you out of anything if you'll just say, help me. I remember one time I was driving down the interstate, and I had an old van, and I looked over there. I come up beside a motorhome. I was going to pass it, and my old van was just hitting on about three cylinders. It was just blah, 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 you know. And I thought, well, I got to get rid of this van. I had that thing for about 12 years, so it was about the time to give up. But anyway, it just didn't quite have the power to go, you know. But I got up just back about this guy like this right here, and this motorhome decided to come over to the left, you know, in my lane. He wanted mine. And I didn't know where to go. I was trying to put on my brakes, and he had more back there than I could get, you know, put on my brakes, and he just kept coming over. And I said, God, help me! I yelled out, he must have hung on the bumper of that van, because it just seemed like that old van just picked up more power. I thought, God, thank you. Because he was going to run over me. And I got out in front of him, and I was shaking. I was scared. It scared me. But I said, God, thank you for being mindful of me. I thought, Lord, you have helped me so many times getting out of things in my life, but I appreciate you being mindful of me. And so I want to say, Lord, I thank you again and again for bringing me and making me be a part of this body of Christ. And I'm so glad that I'm here. And help us, Lord, to continue on. But anyway, I just wanted to get up and expound on God, because it feels so good down in your soul. But I'll get down out of the way.
Have Brother Fetner back with us tonight. Amen. And these folks that are with him, Brother Rocky Johns, I believe, and these are children. Little Rocky and what's her name?
Allison.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Yeah. Appreciate having you. Brother Fetner, you feel like saying something?
Yeah, I always feel like that. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I've been looking for somewhere else.
Wait till you get a mic.
I've always said that I've got a little deal.
I need that. They take these away from me back home. But I'll always said I want to be respectful to the house of God, whether I believe the way they believe or not. So when I come into the house of God, I always sit on the back pew at first. And if I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, and if God gives me an unction, then I move into the service. And I told the brother back here, I said, it's time to go up front. Amen. I ain't got nothing about the back pew, but it seems to me like the back pew is the last pew before you go out. Amen. So I want to be up here where it's at, you know. And I just thank God to find some people where I can worship. And I felt good enough to invite somebody that's a good friend of mine, and I want want to. He's part of actually part of my prison ministry. Plays the guitar for me and works at altars. Got a little preacher in him if you get him wound up. But you know, I'm at a point in my life where I found myself. They asked me what I felt like when I first got saved, and you know, we ain't always been saved like most folks. I know people don't understand that, but was 40 years old before we got saved and was into the drugs and the alcohol and claiming to be an atheist and all of these things. And someone asked me, said about it, and I always put myself with a character, and I thought of myself as Legion, you know, because when Jesus asked him, he said, "I'm Legion because in me are many," and I felt like God had taken out many of the evil spirits. And I found myself though now being more like David, going back to the altar and say, "God, forgive me and show me of my secret sins," amen, the things that I need to get closer. Not that I don't believe I'm saved, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know that I got heaven to win, but brother, pastor, I just want to know to be a work on this earth, to be a help for God. I want to get closer. I want to not to offend the brethren for the things I do, but to get closer to God. And that would be my prayer if I had a request from the church, if anything, to pray for our ministry and to pray for us so that we can still, when we are laid there and we are leaving this walk alive, if they say nothing else, truly, he was a man after God's own heart. Y'all bless him.
Brother Nathan, while you're there, Brother John, do you want to say something?
Yeah.
He always says something.
I just want to praise the Lord. Brother Fetner came to me the other day and he says, "Hey, you want to go to this church with me?" "Well, I'm going to go Sunday." I said, "Well, I won't be able to make it Sunday morning. I got to work, but I'll try to make it Sunday evening." "Well, I've been sick all week. Actually, I've been sick for the last couple of months, but I've been pretty sick all last week and this week." And he says, "You going tonight?" And I said, "I don't know. I got to go pick this boat up after I worked all day." And I said, "I got to go pick this boat up, and I don't know if I'll be able to make it or not." He says, "Well, you done told me." He goes, I don't want to throw no stones or nothing. So I says, "Yeah, let me go home, clean up, and I'll be there. We might be a little bit late." You know, I like to spend as much time in the house of the Lord and meeting new people and just praising the Lord. And I just want to thank the Lord for making it able for me to be here tonight, because I was feeling down and out, but hey, I feel a lot better now. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank the Lord.
Brother Johns, do you sing? Do one of you sing or not tonight? We'll take a rain check. All right. We're just glad to have you here with us. Let's just feel on the Lord and see what he has here. Just obey the Lord if he deals with your heart here.
I guess I better deliver my message, hadn't I? Well, it was just something that brought to my mind that Brother Smith said today, and me and Brother Painter talked about it a little bit during service, and it was just it may be something, you know, that everybody else is all aware of, but sometimes it's just a wake-up call, so to speak. Is I went and seen my son Jesse last weekend, and he's fixing to go to Afghanistan, and so I wanted to see him before he, you know, left, and Jesse's a good boy, and he's got a wife and three kids now, and I had a new granddaughter there I want to go see too, you know, just so and everything. So but after talking to him and everything, I asked him about a few things, and you know, and I'm concerned about a lot of the young people that have been here and have gone, you know, it's and as I said there's really no one to blame, but there's enough of blame to go around if you, you know, if we want to term it that way. But because, you know, Jesus never fails, but sometimes we do. And I know most of that's probably, you know, him. And because, you know, I know people can seek God, you know, but it's, it, but not to make a negative note at it, because I know there's different things that, you know, when people get hurt sometimes, they, you know, they just stay hurt for a while and until, you know, they can find a place in their heart for God and come out of that, you know, and come out of that. So, you know, it takes a while, but, you know, he told me he believes in God and he just didn't believe in organized religion, which basically what he meant by that, he didn't believe in going to church. That's what he meant. And I thought, well, and I had some thoughts, you know, you're on the plane and you got a little bit of time and at the airport waiting for your plane and stuff like that. And my thoughts was, is first of all, first thing we need to do, and this is no revelation from nobody here, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, as it were, but my thought was, first we need to seek God. We don't need to seek church. Church is a vital part of it, but you need to seek God. You know, and so, but, and then the other thought I had, and I'll tell you why in a minute, is we need to really appreciate God's people. And what I mean is, whether they're in the body or out of the body, if they're seeking God, we need to really appreciate them and see how we can move closer to them. And that doesn't mean, you know, that don't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater, or, you know, that you keep all your solid color dogs and but you know, I think God's really getting ready to harvest this world, and I really want to open my heart to God's people, no matter where they're at, and the reason is there's a lot of people here in this world that they don't seek God, and it's sad. They maybe, you know, had an experience with God, but they're giving up on God. Who was that, the weeping prophet? Was that Jeremiah? I hate to, you know, but, you know, sometimes these experiences, you know, it's a wake up sometimes, at least for my life, and I really want to appreciate God's people. And I thought, well, you know, there's just some of these people that seem like they have no hope. And then Tuesday I got back, went to work, and listened to a radio station. They were talking about the people in Europe over there, you know, how that there's a lot of apathy in the Christian people among in Europe over there, and I thought, well, it's, you know, that's happening in the United States too. But then our brother, what was our brother here last week, that black brother that was Harden, Brother Harden. What did he say? He said, get up! Get up! That was his message, wasn't it? Yeah, you can sit around and feel bad about stuff, but there's a time to get up, isn't it? And I want to do that. At the same time, I want to include all God's people. No, we don't have to take on as they say, believe everything that comes down the pike, you know, and because I don't do it here. You know, you can ask people. I don't do it here, but I consider everything, you know. But still, even with that being said, God's people are precious. And I want to appreciate every one of them. Every person that wants to serve God, you know, every person that's seeking God, you know. Sometimes we think, you know, it's, you know, let me say I. Well, how come there's not a lot of people here, you know? And, you know, Brother Smith said, you know, we got some truth. We didn't got it all. He expressed that. Well, is it because those other people don't love God? I don't think so. I think God's got them there. I think there's a reason for everything, you know. There's all things work together for the good, doesn't it? And I thought, man, you know, those, you know, God, how God has blessed each and every one of us is great. And I thought those, you know, I think of people that, you know, my mom, for example, you know, do you know that she, for 20 years, not only did she play piano in the church she went to, you know, was faithful in that, but for 20 years or better, she went to old folks' home and played piano for those folks, trying to lift them up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, you know. Now, the whys and ifs and, you know, how we progress in God and why we do, why we don't, why it's so slow sometimes and you know, and all that, I don't know. But I know God is still there. God is still with us, you know. God is there. So I want to appreciate all God's people. I want to appreciate all God's people. I thank God for every move that He's made in my life. I thank God for those people that tried to help me when I was a teenager and I just rolled my eyes at them, you know. Isn't it funny? That's what I remember. I remember those people that come when I didn't appreciate them, you know. Thank you, Lord, for those people that suffered rejection. And so I thank God. I thank God for them. I thank God for His people. I thank God for this church, too. I thank God it allowed us to, you know, for wherever we're at in God, wherever we're at on Jacob's ladder, wherever you're at, I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Sometimes I feel the urge to get up and testify, but I think, no, I'll wait a minute. And I'll wait for the right moment, and then that's gone, and then pretty soon service is over, and I didn't take the opportunity. But I think there's not exactly a right time always. I think that maybe any time is the right time. You can make an opportunity of almost any time to testify and tell about the goodness of God. I was on the telephone the other day with a phone company, and it wasn't the phone company, it was the bank. Anyway, my husband's name is still on my checking account, and I do have a debit card that I never use, but I just have it anyway. But I have used it maybe once. But she said, well, what about Mr. Abraham? She said, we'd like to send him a card. And I told her, no. I said, he's no longer alive, you know, so he won't be needing a card. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, well, it's been 9 years, so it's not like it used to be. And she said, well, I'm sorry. And she went on like that. And I said, well, that was my opportunity. And so I said, well, I said, time kind of heals. I said, but it's really God. I said, it's really God. That really helped you through things. And I went on to tell her about all the things that has happened in this past 9 years of what God has done to me. And she agreed with me. And I don't know if she agreed from experience or if she was just agreeing with me or what, but nevertheless, I knew that was my opportunity, and I want to take all the opportunities that I can to tell people about the Lord. I was thinking about the song this morning. What did we start out with? He's got my whole... Was it? He's got my world in his hand. Didn't we sing that today? And then Brother York talking about his narrow escape from that big motorhome. But it made me... It reminded me of what happened to me yesterday. I was on my way home. Oh, I don't know what time it was, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, whatever it was. But anyway, I was going down west on Baseline, and I was coming up to turn on Stagecoach. That's, you know, that's the way I usually go home, you know, when I'm leaving my family or whatever. But I don't think it was even a whole minute. It was just a matter of seconds where I was coming up to the light there. I wasn't far from the light. And then all of a sudden, I heard a big bang. And I guess all the few cars ahead of me slowed down. And I don't know which direction, what car was coming in, but they hit each other and swung one car around, the other one up into the gas station. And I thought, if I had just been a few seconds earlier, that could have been me at that intersection that got hit. And I thank the Lord that, you know, he works things out, you know, that he can protect us from all these things. And then I remember here, I don't know, where was it, a few months ago when I testified how I went down Stagecoach, turned on John Barrow, and I hit this curb. And I didn't know it until I got a few blocks down, you know, that something was wrong with my tire. And I drove on a flat tire that was split. It was still on the rim, but it was split all around the sides of the tire. And it's only the Lord helped me make it to the gas station, because I guess that was, what, a mile or two from Asher to Markham down there. But anyway, I was going down, what is that, 6:30? You go downtown. I was going down there, and I got onto the freeway, and I hadn't really merged into the traffic yet, and I hit an embankment. The ground was, you know, I don't know how, it was maybe 2 or 3 feet that I hit, you know, and I thought, oh no, what did I do? Mess my tire up again. And then all of a sudden, my car started slowing down. And for some silly reason, I got to pushing on the gas just like that would make it go faster, but it didn't. It kept slowing down until it came to a stop. And I was really praying. I said, oh, Lord, please don't let me be stranded out here on this freeway. You know, maybe a flat tire, and maybe something happened to the engine. I don't know. But anyway, I turned the car off, and I thought, well, I'll just sit here a minute. And then it came to me, well, go ahead and start the car up again. And I did, and it ran, and I thought, well, I don't feel a flat tire, but the car is running, so thank the Lord, I'm going to keep going. And so I did, and I was on my way to the doctor. That's where I was going, and I got to the doctor, and the car has been good ever since. So I really thank the Lord for his protection, because I don't know if I'm at fault or what, but anyway, I've got to be more careful that these things don't happen. But anyway, I do thank the Lord, because I know these are some things that I know where the Lord has intervened, but there's so many other times that we don't know, you know, how he's protected us. But I am thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for all of you, and I love each and every one of you.
comment. When Brother York was up a little while ago, I thought of this song that, like I've testified about this before, I've always wanted the Lord to give me a song. And I always felt like I could make up rhymes. I could always make up tunes, but I never could make up a rhyme to go with a tune that I didn't feel like that wasn't my own doing. Until one day I was on my way to the campground, and I was, you know, I was going through some hard things at work, so I decided I was going to fast, and my fast was going to be I wouldn't listen to the radio. I wouldn't listen to any talk radio. I wouldn't listen to my music, wouldn't listen to anything on the way up there, and on the way back if I had to, just so I could hear what God was having to say. You know, because a lot of times, you know, I seem like I plug my mind so full of stuff, and my mind works overtime like it is. And then when I just feed a nonstop diet, I don't ever get quiet enough. I figure on an 8-hour trip to the campground, I don't have a whole lot of time if I stand still and wait for what God has to say, he might talk to me. And while I was driving on the road, these words started coming to me, and I started writing on the back of an envelope, and I was, you know, I felt like I was the man behind Brother York. I was running people off the road trying to write on this envelope, kept writing on my seat and everything. But these words came to me. Kid D. Started off slow. King Naaman of Syria was stricken with a deadly leprosy. He went to the house of Elisha, that by faith he might be made clean. He was told a cannonball into the mighty Jordan, to be healed you must obey. That's when he took off running to the river and washed his afflictions away. His love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out, his blessings and strength I gain. When I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. It's when I take off running to the river and wash my burdens away. As Jesus passed by, I saw a blind man, blind from the day of his birth. He was blameless but placed there to manifest God's works on earth. Jesus spat upon the ground and made clay with the spittle, washed the man's eyes with the clay. Then the blind man took off running for the water, the scales from his eyes fell away. His love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out, his blessings and strength I gain. When I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. It's when I take off running to the river and wash my burdens away. His love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out, his blessings and strength I gain. When I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. When I take off running to the river and wash my burdens away. As Jesus passed by, saw a blind man, blind from the day of his birth. He was blameless but placed there to manifest God's works on earth. Jesus spat upon the ground and made clay with the spittle, washed the man's eyes with the clay. Blind man took off running to the water, the scales from his eyes fell away. His love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out, his blessings and strength I gain. When I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. When I take off running to the water, his love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out, his blessings and strength I gain. When I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. When I take off running to the river and wash my burdens away. King Naaman of Syria was stricken with a deadly leprosy. He went to the house of Elisha, that by faith he might be made clean. He was told to cannonball into the mighty Jordan, to be healed you must obey. It's when he took off running to the river, the scales from his eyes. His love's like a cool spring shower, and I like standing in the rain under the spout where the glory comes out. His blessings and strength I gain when I need a special healing, my power and purpose reclaim. It's when I take off running to the river and wash my burdens away.
Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the love of God that He's shown to me and each of us, and to our loved ones, our friends, our family. We're fortunate, really, to be able to stand under the blessings of the Lord and let Him touch our lives. It really humbles me to consider that God loves me. You know, He made the whole world, the heavens and the earth. He raises kings up, He sets kings down. He's working on salvation for thousands or millions of people, and He took the time to focus on me. It's amazing. Praise His name. You know, and I of course, my wife and I, we have four children, and I don't have time. I don't have the time that I wish I had to dedicate to them and spend with them and share, you know, with them. And then even find myself at times when I am off work or tired, I still don't feel, you know, I don't maybe have the energy or the want to put my wants aside and put theirs first. But God's not that way. And that's amazing to me. There's a few things in the world, I suppose, that are truly amazing. You know, they talk about the seven wonders of the world and things like that. But when I think about the word amazing, I think about God. Because God, in all of His authority and all of His wisdom, in all of His power, He's still willing to negotiate with me. He's still willing to take the time, and the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Praise God. I think we sung that song today. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And, you know, he prayed. He prayed a prayer. He said, I pray not just for these, but for these only, but as many as are afar off. And to consider that God and Jesus worked out a plan of salvation, and they recognized that man at his best is a fallen state, and they needed a mediator, and they needed they needed the shedding of blood for the testament to have effect. And Jesus, even the way I see the scripture, when he was he said he could have called, you know, legions of angels to deliver him from that circumstance, but he chose not to. He made a choice. He was put in a situation where he took on the burdens of the world. He took on the sins of humanity. And there wasn't any, God didn't have a knife in his back, or God wasn't driving him with a whip, if you will. Jesus willingly made that sacrifice. He willingly laid down his life for the redemption of man. And of course, you know, we recognize that the sacrifice was incredible. And it's illustrated there when it says that he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And his burden was so heavy, the pressure was so great, that he had to pray that prayer three times. Father, if it be thy will, please let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And truly, in my mind, Jesus died that night. He died there when he laid his life down before the feet of his Father and said, I'm willing. It is finished. I'm willing. And then the sacrifices that he made after that was a reflection of a decision that he had already made. That's how I see that our Savior. I don't think of him as just a man hanging on a cross. I think of him as a man with a will. In his own confession, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. I think of him as a man with his own ideas, his own thoughts and intentions. And I think of him as a man that stopped and said, God, I realize that you have a greater plan for me, and whatever that plan will be is okay. I'm willing to submit to it. I'm willing to follow you even to death. And to take it a step further, I think about our Lord and the fact that when he died, he didn't have any power to raise himself from the grave. That power wasn't in him. Now, he had a promise. He had a promise that God had made to him. He read the scriptures. He had promises in the scriptures. But his trust was not in himself. His trust was in his Father. And that's where our trust lies today. We can do a lot of things under our own power and under our own strength. And men have accomplished great feats in this world and marvelous technology and all kinds of medical advancements and tall buildings. And, you know, and just the other night we watched the space shuttle and the space station traveling through the sky, you know, just for that 10 or 15 minute window that we got to see come from, you know, from the west to the southwest to the northeast. It's amazing to see, you know, that's to realize that there's people up there waving at them. They wave back, you know, it was pretty amazing. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't see us. But, you know, to consider that man has done all kinds of things. But man does not have the power to redeem a lost soul. And I like that song. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again. I can't take a soul that's sin sick and wash it whiter than snow. But I want you to know tonight, I know a man who can. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise
lift up his name.
Yeah.
Lift up that wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful name. It's a name the Bible says that by which we can all be saved. Oh, hallelujah. We can put our loved ones and our friends and our family and our children, we can put them under that name and trust that the Lord knows and sees their very circumstance. Praise the Lord. I think about our children receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost in their life. And as a young person, I didn't hear the message of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost until I was a teenager. And I'm thankful for the. I'm thankful that I received the Holy Ghost as a teenager. I am very much thankful for that. But I can't help but consider how much more blessed my life could have been. But perhaps, you know, that was God's plan for me. But I look at my children. A couple of them have the Holy Ghost, and a couple of them don't. And I think to myself, God, you know exactly what they need and when they need it. And there's not, I can't force them. Now, I could teach them how to pray, and they know how to pray. I can teach them how to raise their hands and submit to the Spirit of God, and they know how to do that. But it takes that communion, if you will, for them. It takes that relationship for them to develop with the Lord. And so they have to seek their way, and the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we all have that responsibility from the young to the teenager to the young adult, all the way to the elderly people. We all have a responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't think that, you know, I used to be pretty uptight, I guess, and Brother Brett, what he'd agree, I'm sure. Some few you others might agree also, but I know that, you know, I have a genuine desire to see people saved, and I recognize that, you know, I've recognized that you can't force that on people. But you can still be a good example and be a witness to them. And I was relating a story to Brother Paul Thompson. Appreciate it, Brother Thompson and the words he spoke tonight and the friendship and fellowship I have with him. And I had the occasion to visit with, I worked with a lady on the job. Just relay a story to you. I worked with a lady on a job up in Bentonville when I was working for Walmart. And this lady, she didn't go to church. She had three kids. Her husband was a truck driver. And we were just talking one day. And she said, I need to go to church. I know that I do. She said, but I just don't know how to get it, you know, to get in gear, if you will, to get my house together to make it to church on time. She, you know, working for Walmart in Bentonville, you know, it's kind of like Little Rock. You have people live 40, 50 miles out, you know, in southern Missouri and eastern Oklahoma and, you know, further east in Arkansas, and they drive in to the corporate office there. She lived about 30 miles away, and I told her, I said, you know, you just need to find you a church close to your home and just start taking your children there. I said, who knows, your husband may get interested and go with you. I said, but one thing about going to church is children, when they get to go to church, they get to see that there's other people that are like mom and dad. There's other people who need prayer about paying bills, or there's other people that you